Yesterday I mentioned the Rambam in his introduction in Pirush HaMishnayos to Masechta Zvachim. And with your permission, I'd like to continue with the Rambam. Maybe every day we'll take another little piece in the Rambam. And so far the Rambam has established that there are four categories of karbonos, and they include the Ola, the Chatos, the Asham, and the Shlomim. Those are the four categories. And he mentions some of the differences between these categories. Perhaps the one distinction that he emphasizes, and it's interesting that he starts with that distinction. I would have had a different distinction in mind. I'll tell you in just a minute. And he says that what happens to the boss of the carbon? In all four cases, in all four categories, the boss is divided into two categories, with the exception of the Ola. And those two subcategories of each carbon are the Emurim, which are burnt on the Mizbeach, and the balance of the carbon, which is Nechal. And then you can talk about who's eating the balance of the carbon beyond the Emurim. Again, in the case of the Ola, the carbon from A to Z is burnt on the Mizbeach. There may be differences between the Emurim and other parts of the animal, but they're all burnt on the Mizbeach. And in the cases of Chatos, Asham, Ushlamim, there we're going to divide between the Emurim that are burnt on the Mizbech and the balance which is eaten by whom. And here's where the Rambam classifies Chatos and Asham on one side of the equation and Shlomim on the other side of the equation. Whereas in the first case of Chatos v'Asham, we're talking about Nechal l'zichrei kahuna, whereas in Shlomim it's Nechal Lebailim. Now, in the paragraph that opens, at least in my edition, with the word Vashlomim, the Rambam adds another important point. And he writes, quote, Im hayu karban tzibur, yochlu hakonim, and that's only lezichrei kuhuna bilvat. So the word hashar here in the Rambam means anything but the murim, because as we said before, the murim in all four categories of karbonos are burnt on the mizbeach. Hashar means the balance of the carbon besides the murim. In the case of shlomim, we said that what's unique about shlomim, in contrast to the other categories, is that it's nechal liyisraelim, that Israel is allowed to eat the basar of shlomim. But now the Rambam qualifies that, and he distinguishes between Shalmei Yochid and Shalmei Tzibur. And I think I mentioned to you yesterday that Shalmei Tzibur have something to do with Chag HaShavuos, because when they brought the Shteil Lechem, which was the unique carbon of Chag HaShavuos, that was accompanied by Shalmei Tzibur, which is Kivsei Atzeres. And the Rambam says, in the case of Kivsei Atzeres, the balance of the carbon is eaten by Zichrei Kohuna, and it cannot be eaten by the Bailim. Now, I mentioned to you that if it were up to me, but the Rambam is a lot smarter than me, I would have said, let's distinguish, if you're breaking down these categories, if I have four categories of karbonos, let's distinguish in the following way, which I think is very fundamental. And that is between Kodshei Kodshim and Kodshim Kalim. Now, there are many distinctions between Kodshei Kodshim and Kodshim Kalim. Kodshei Kodshim are more chomer, are more strict in their regulations than Kodshim Kalim. For example, Kodshei Kodshim can only be eaten in the Azara, not outside the Azara. That's not true for Kodshim Kalim. Kodshim Kalim could be eaten outside the Azara, anywhere inside the walls of Yerushalayim. So therefore, if it would have been up to me, I would have said that let's put Ola and Chatos and Asham on one side of the equation, all expressions of the category called Kodshe Kodshim, and put Shlomim on the other side of the equation because it's only Kodshim Kalim. And another distinction between Kodshe Kodshim and its Chumrah as opposed to Kodshim Kalim is with regard to the laws of Me'ilah. Kodshim Kalim belong to the Bailim and there's no Me'ilah. Me'ilah means when I embezzle from Hegdish. That would only apply in the cases of Kodshe Kodshim, because the carbon itself is completely Lashem, and if you use the carbon for your own purposes, let's say you ride the animal, then you'd be chayv for Me'ilah. Now, again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, because at some point, even Kodshim Kalim become Kodshe Kodshim. That's after the Zrikas Adam. In other words, once the carbon is up on the Mizbeach, then even Shlomim becomes Kodshe Kodshim. But fundamentally, Kodshim Kalim, Shlomim, do not lend themselves to Me'ilah. And that touches really on a fundamental difference between Shlomim and the other three categories. And it really bothered me why the Rambam did not set up that distinction as his introduction to Kodshim, because that distinction is so fundamental. I'll give you another example of the difference between Kodshim, Kodshe Kodshim, and Kodshim Kalim. Kodshe Kodshim have a din of Tzafon, which means that the Shechita has to take place in the Tzafon of the Azara. Kodshim Kalim don't require Shechita B'Tzafon. Anywhere in the Azara is kosher for Shechita. But I think Me'ilah is perhaps the most fundamental distinction. The answer, I think, again, this is my own intuition, is that the reason why the Rambam is avoiding this is because he wants to take Shlomim as a category unto itself, in separating it and contrasting it with the other three categories. And he could not apply the principle of Kodshim Kalim to Shlomim. And the reason for that is because his focal point here, his, so to speak, his measuring rod to compare and contrast the different categories of Kodshim is Nechal. Who's eating the Basar? In Ola, no one's eating the Basar. It's all completely Kolil on the Mizbeach. In Chatos V'Asham, the Emurim are burnt on the Mizbeach, and the balance of the carbon is eaten by Zichrei Kahuna. Shlomim there, therefore, separates itself as a separate category, because Shlomim is Nechal Abaylim, Li Yisraelim. They're not Zichrei Kahuna by a far stretch, no matter how much they pay the Rambam. And that gives the Rambam that fundamental distinction or contrast between Shlomim and the other three categories. But now the Rambam has to make sure that we don't make a mistake, because within the purview of Shlomim, we have something called Shalmei Tzibur. And Shalmei Tzibur are Nechal only Lezichrei Kahuna. Now, once we emphasize that, we're a little bit in trouble if we would have taken Berzon's initiative. Because in my initiative, Shlomim would be in contrast to the other three categories of Ola, Chatos, and Oshim, because Shlomim is Kodshim Kalim. Well, that's not really so. To classify Shlomim as Kodshim Kalim is very misleading, because Shlomim include both Shalmei Yochid and Shalmei Tzibur. And Shalmei Tzibur are Kodshe Kodshim. And I'll prove it to you, because Shlomim on Chag HaShavuos, on Atzeres, meaning Kivsei Atzeres, can only be eaten L'Zichrei Kahuna. And in that sense, you can establish that Shlomim, in the case of a Tzibur, Shalmei Tzibur, is Kodshe Kodshim. Which means that no one's allowed to eat the Basar unless you're a registered Kohen. If you're not registered as a Kohen, don't bother voting. Because in these categories, which is Chatos and Oshav in our discussion, which is Kodshe Kodshim, if you're not a Kohen, don't bother showing up at the table to eat the Basar. That's not true in the case of Shlomim. The Rambam feels that he can contrast Shlomim with the other categories because Shlomim is eaten L'Bailim L'Yisraelim. You don't have to be a card-carrying member of Sheva Kahuna in order to eat Shlomim. Then the Rambam has to tell you, wait a minute, don't make a mistake. there, within the purview, within the logic category of shlamim, there is such a thing as shlamim that can only be eaten lezichrei kahuna, and that's shalmei tzibur. Well, that proves that shlamim might be kodshei kodshim. Because what's unique about kodshim kalim is that the bialim have the rights, because they own the karmon in kodshim kalim, to eat the karmon. And that's regardless of whether the person bringing the shlamim happens to be a kohen by fluke, or he's Israel. He is the owner of the karma. And I'll prove it to you. That's why there's no me'ila in kachim kalim, in shlomim. Because since I own the karma, I am not embezzling hegdesh by riding the animal, or using it to thresh my field. So that therefore, the definition of shlomim as kachim kalim is somewhat iffy, because we're going to have to emphasize that shlomim in the case of shalmei tzibur is kachim kalim, kachim kachim, meaning it's only eaten to zichrei kuna, and that's perhaps the reason why the Rambam is going to avoid that. Another point in the Rambam, we mentioned yesterday that the Rambam has this ambiguous phrase that reoccurs, and that's gedolim and ketanim. What does he mean when he says that the animals could be gedolim or ketanim? So in order to really understand that, you have to read another paragraph in this Rambam's introduction that begins with the words v'akdim, again in my edition of the Pirush HaMishnayos L'Rambam. And here he adds another introduction to kodshim, and he points out that in the world of animals, which we spoke about yesterday, that include kvasim, bakar, and izim. So the Rambam says that the terminology of the Torah is very critical. When the Torah speaks about kvasim, then the Torah is speaking about kvasim that are newborn, meaning they're within the first year of their birth. And that's called katan. When we move on to izim, on the other hand, that's true for both kvasim and izim. When we move on to something called elim, the word elim in the Torah means that it's 2 years old. And if you see the word parim in bakar in the Torah, that means it's 3 years old. So that's the difference between ketanim and gedolim. And in each category of a karma, we're going to have to decide whether or not we have to take the karma from kvasim and izim, which means it's got to be ketanim up to 1 year old, or we can allow for a broader category, and that's called Elim, which are 2 years old, or we can go all the way to Parim, and that means even 3 years old. But what I really wanted to emphasize to you, and this will start now and finish another time, is the paragraph that begins with HaChelek HaRishon. And here's where the Rambam introduces the fundamental distinction that applies to all four categories of karbanos, namely the distinction between a karban yachid and a karban tzibur. And in the world of karbanos, that distinction is very fundamental and far-reaching in terms of its repercussions and its consequences. The Rambam says that there are korbanos that are brought by the tzibur, and some of those are actually brought on a daily basis. Our Mishnah that we're studying in Pesachim is addressing the case of the korban tamid, and the tamid is brought twice each day. Those are korbanos tzibur. Now, on Shabbos, we bring extra korbanos tzibur, and those are called musafim. On Rosh Chodesh, we're going to add an additional number of karbanos because those are musfei Rosh Chodesh. On Moadim, on all three regalim, we have, again, an addition of karbanos tzibur. So the number of karbanos tzibur, which on a daily basis is only two, will change once we introduce what we call Kedusha Sayom. This is the overlap between Kodshim and Moed, and Seder Moed. That Moadim have an impact on kodshim, but only in terms of korbanos tzibur. And now what the Rambam is going to do for us in a very fascinating way is that he's going to calculate how many korbanos tzibur you will bring on any given day. So again, on a weekday you'll bring two. He says that on Shabbos we have to add another two korbanos tzibur, which are kvasim, that are olos, and they are brought somewhere in between the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. But if we calculate the number of korbanos tzibur that are brought on Shabbos, we end up with the number four, because we have the two tamidim that are brought on every day and are brought likewise on Shabbos, of course, because the korban tamid is brought on every day from now until the end of time. But on Shabbos now, we're going to add another two korbanos tzibur, which are the musafim of Shabbos, and we now jack up the number from two to four korbanos tzibur. Nimtza, and the Rambam actually does the math for us, that akariv b'chol yom, Shabbos, on any Shabbos, arba olos, we will bring four korbanos olos. And Ashnayim and Osafim, the additional two to the two of every weekday, are called Musaf Shabbos. Now what happens on Rosh Chodesh? On Rosh Chodesh, we have an addition of two. In addition to the two Tmidim, we have Parim Shnayim, Ayel Echad, Kvasim B'nei Shana Shiva. And they're all olos. Not only that, we add a seir izim lechatas. And therefore, he says, klal elu nikroim musav rosh chodesh. Anything that's added to the korban tzibur, which is called tmidim, the two that are brought daily are called musav. Nimtza hakari v'chol rosh chodesh, on a regular rosh chodesh, which is on a weekday, shtemesrei olos v'sar chatos lo pachos mehen. So we have 12 olos and a soyer lechatos. Now, how does he get the number 12 olos for Rosh Chodesh? Because he has Parim Shnayim, Ayel Echad, Kvasim B'nei Shana Shiva. So now he's got a total of 10, correct? Let's count it again. He's got Parim Shnayim, that's 2. Ayel Echad is 3. Kvasim B'nei Shana Shiva, he's got a total of 10. Now add the 10 to the regular weekday Shnei Tmidim, and you jack up the number of 12. Plus you have the Seir Lechatos. So all told, on Rosh Chodesh, you will have 13 Korbanos Tzibur. So we went from Chol, which was 2, up to Shabbos, which jacked it up to 4, and now we have Rosh Chodesh that's going to jack it up to 13. V'yom Hayah Rosh Chodesh B'yom HaShabbos. Now, what happens when you have an overlap between Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh? Yeah, Mispara Olos Arbaesre. And you're going to now have the number 14 Olos. And the 14 Olos are going to be the 10 Olos of Rosh Chodesh, plus 2 Olos of the Tmidim of Yom Chol, plus the 2 Olos of the Musaf of Shabbos. 2 plus 2 plus 10 is 14 Olos. And then add the Sar Lechatos. So you're going to have, all told, 15 korbanos tzibur in the case of an overlap of Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. And now the Rambam is going to go on and on and on. Maybe we'll do the rest of this tomorrow. But I just wanted to point out to you that the Rambam sees in the world of Kodshim a very fundamental introduction, which he feels compelled to introduce all of Seder Kodshim with that introduction of korbanos tzibur, and to calculate how many korbanos tzibur you will bring on any particular calendar date. Now let me just add one other point here in the introduction, and this is from the Masifta, and that is that what we're going to have to talk about in Kodshim are the four avodos. So every category of karbon requires four avodos. The first is shechita. The second is kabbalah sadam. The third is holocha sadam. And the fourth is zrika sadam. But even though the number four sounds like four equal members, they're not equal at all. And in many ways, Zrikas Adam is the kingpin of Avodos. And the reason for that is because every karmon is brought as a mechaper. That's called Ritzuya karmon. And the kapara depends upon the Zrikas Adam. There are many, many different complicated halachas of Zrikas Adam. They distinguish all karbonos in terms of where the Zrika is, on the top of the Mizbeach, on the Kronos of the Mizbeach, on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, below the Chut HaSikra, many, many different complicated categories and distinctions with regard to Zrikas Adam. And the reason why Zrikas Adam is a subject of great study with many, many different nuances of laws is because you could say in Yiddish, Alts Lichten Dem Zrika. Everything really is inherent in the Zrika. The Zrika itself is the main avoda. And on the other extreme, you might postulate Shechita. Shechita, in a certain sense, borrows from Chulin. It's not really a unique karbon halacha. I mean, there's no Zrika Sadam in Chulin, but there is Shechita in Chulin. And not only that, Shechita is Ksher Bizar. Of all the four avodas, only one of them can be implemented by Zar. And that is Shechita. Again, we're going to have to work it out exactly where the Zar is standing. Is he allowed to go into the Azara? Because all Kodshim requires Shechita in the Azara. And then we have something called Holochas Adam. Now, after the Dam was received in what's called a Mizrak, in a receptacle, which is a Kli Shares, now you have to carry that Kli Shares over to the Mizbeach in order to facilitate the Zrika. And Rabbi Shimon, one of the Tanoim, holds that that is not considered one of the avodas at all. Once you elevate something to the status of avoda, it has tremendous repercussions. If Rabbi Shimon takes Holochas Adam out of the category of an avoda, that means that all those unique dinim that apply b'shas avoda do not apply b'shas Holochas Adam. So, for example, we have what's called a machsheves lishma. And then we have a machshavas shalol lishma. Then we have a machshavas pigul, and a machshavas pigul of chutz l'zmano, and a machshavas pigul of chutz l'mkomo. I mean, all these dinim, which might generate halachas that are even kares halachas, because pigul is an isur kares, these halachas only apply to avoda. So I just want to point out from this introduction that the halacha, or the categorization of an avoda, has tremendous repercussions. And when we say there are four avodos, it's a little bit of an oversimplification and it's a bit misleading because it's not miksha achas. There are different dinim and there's a different status within the four avodos. Now, we divided up our Mishnah yesterday into three segments. Let's just go over that very quickly. The first section of the Mishnah addresses the time for the Karban Bein Arbaim, the Tomid Shel Bein Arbaim, on a daily basis, on a Yom Chol. And the Mishnah establishes that the Tomid is shechted at 8.5 hours. We're going to have to see the sugya to figure out why we delay the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim to 8.5 hours. Because presumably you could bring, and we'll soon see it in our mission itself, you can shech the carbon Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim much earlier, 2 hours earlier even. So why the delay of 2 hours? That's going to be the sugya that we want to study. Now, how long does it take until the Tamid is actually completed? The Akrovas HaTamid takes a full hour. As we discussed yesterday, there are many different parts of that Akrova, and then we get to the Gemara Hakrova at 9.5 hours. At that point, we start our process of Shechitas Karban Pesach. In that case, Shechitas Karban Pesach is unique in the constellation of Karbonos, because the last carbon of the day is always the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, with the exception of one day in the calendar year, and that's the 14th of Nisan. And the Karban Pesach is brought after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Now, is it immediately after? Is it a little bit later after? That we'll have to discuss. Then we get to the second part of our Mishnah, and now we're talking about the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim on Erev Pesach, on the 14th of Nisan. At this point, we're not distinguishing between one day of the week or the other. We're just talking about the calendar date. The calendar date is the 14th of Nisan. I couldn't care less whether it's a weekday or it's a Shabbos. And that's why the Mishnah goes out of its way to say Bein B'chol Bein B'Shabbos. And now we're going to be makdim. We're going to make the shechita time for the Karban Shel Bein Arbayim 1 hour earlier. Why? Because on the 14th of Nisan, we have a tremendous bulk of work. We have to bring the Karban Pesach in massive amounts. And we don't have too much time to finish this process if we begin at 9:30, 9.5 hours into the day. So that we shech the Karban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim at 7.5 hours, we complete its hakrov at 8.5 hours, and sometime afterwards we begin with the Avodas HaKarbanos. So instead of beginning at 9:30, we're going to begin at 8:30. The third segment of the Mishnah discusses a case of the overlap between the 14th of Nisan and a Friday. If the 14th of Nisan falls on a Friday, then we have an additional pressure to begin the Hakrovas Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim earlier and start at the earliest possible moment. The additional pressure is because of Tzlias HaKarban. If the Karban Pesach is brought on a Friday, then the latest time possible for tzliya, for roasting the Karban Pesach, would be nightfall, because we have a halacha that tzliyas ha-pesach eino doche es ha-shabbos. It doesn't override the Shabbos. Now, we should make a note of the fact that this is not so simple. You know, one person said to me yesterday, what's the chiddush over here? Why do you have to put this whole emphasis here that the last moment for tzliya on Friday has to be before Shabbos, before the onset of Shabbos? I mean, that's simple. I mean, tzliya is one of the lametes melachas. Why would it override the Shabbos? And I told him just the opposite. I don't understand why tzliya sapesach doesn't override the Shabbos, because all of karbonos, if those karbonos are time-bound and they have to be urgently brought at a time and it happens to be Shabbos, all of those karbonos override the Shabbos. Let's say, for example, we just had the Rambam's introduction to Karban Tzibur, and he told us that on Rosh Chodesh we have to bring 10 extra olos. And then he tells us that if there's an overlap between Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos, he's got to be 12 extra olos. Now that means that when Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, we're going to add another 10 olos. And those are the olos of Rosh Chodesh. Why should they override the Shabbos? But the answer is, whenever you have a time-bound karbon, then the mitzvah karbon overrides the Shabbos. And that's going to be derived in Masechta Menachos, in the Mishnah of Perek Rabbi Yishmael, from a pasuk Ola Shabbos B'Shabbato. Anything that's time-bound and it overlaps with Shabbos overrides the Shabbos. In the case of Tzliyas HaKarbon, I would have said that the Karban Pesach is Doche Shabbos, not only the Karban Pesach itself, but even its Tzliya. That's also part of the Avodah. And the answer is name, that the Tzliya is not part of the Avodah. The Tzliya is what's called Tzorech Yochid. All of Karbonos fit into the category of Tzorche Gavoa, meaning the Karban is brought for the sake of Gavoa. And the Gavoa says, bring it even on Shabbos with all the malachas that are involved in the Avodas HaKorban, but not in a case of Avodas HaHejot, a Tzorche HaHejot. The Tzliya is not part of the Korban Pesach as a Korban. It's part of the Korban Pesach in order to facilitate your ability to fulfill your personal mitzvah of Achilas Basar HaPesach. So you have a mitzvah of Achila, and the mitzvah of Achilas HaPesach is only Basar Tzolut. So if you cook the Korban Pesach, that's a no-no. And that's called Tzorchei Hejot. And Tzorchei Hejot, in contrast to Tzorchei Gavah, do not override the Shabbos. So therefore, in a case where Erev Pesach overlaps with Friday, and the latest time, therefore, for Tzlias HaKorban is going to be on Friday in the evening, but before sunset, therefore, we have to make sure that the Avodas HaShchita, etc., of the Korban Pesach should be sped up, and that will give us more time during the day, that Friday, that short Friday, but it's not so short in the spring, in order to encompass the Tzlias HaKorban, so that we can facilitate on Leil Shabbos the mitzvah of Achilas HaPesach. So that's a summary of what we covered yesterday. I want to call your attention to one phrase in the Mishnah that we completely missed it. And that's the case of the middle segment of our Mishnah, and that's the case of Erev Pesach. So we said that on the 14th of Nisan, we have to be Makdim, the Korban, Tamid, Shel Ben Arbayim, and we have to Shecht it not at 8.5 hours, but rather at 7.5 hours. But notice that the Mishnah uses the phrase Arvei Pesachim. Now that phrase, according to one Girsa, appears in the first Mishnah, in the last parak of Pesachim, which is called Arvei Pesachim. And there's a whole discussion as to why the Mishnah at the end of Masechta Pesachim opens up with Arvei Pesachim in the plural. You may have said that it's referring to all Pesachim, the Alma, but the Gemara says no. If it says Arvei Pesachim in the plural, it's got to teach us something. And the Rishonim want to know, in our Mishnah, again, we encounter the phrase Arvei Pesachim. Why Arvei Pesachim in the plural? Why not Erev Pesach? As a clear-cut reference to the 14th of Nisan. So here I want to share with you the insight of the Tosfos Yontif. Tosfos Yontif, as you know, writes a commentary on the Mishnah. And he says the following. The Mishnah is telling me a gewaldige chiddush here by using the plural. What would be the status of the 14th, not of Nisan, but the 14th of Iyar, which is the day in which we bring the Pesach Sheni? Well, who brings Pesach Sheni? It's a Tomei or Hoye B'derech Rechoka. Again, these are all sugyas, major sugyas in Masechta Pesachim, who were enjoined from bringing the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. We give them a second round. Well, if on the 14th of Nisan, we're going to begin the process of Shechitas Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim an hour earlier than any other day in the calendar year, we're going to start it at 7:30 instead of 8:30, that I understand. Because there's a massive volume of Korban Pesach, Korbanos Pesach, of Pesachim, that are going to be brought on that day, of the 14th of Nisan. But on the 14th of Iyar, when we fast forward to Pesach Sheni, okay, there are a couple of people here, there, and elsewhere that are Tmeim or Bederech Rechoka, and they couldn't bring it on the first, they'll bring it on the second. Our Mishnah wants to teach us that even on Pesach Sheni, on the 14th of Iyar, we're going to have to be makdim, the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, by 1 hour. And the halacha that applies to the first Pesach, meaning to Yudalid B'Nisan, applies and extends to Pesach Sheni as well. Now, in the case of the 14th of Nisan, there are psachim merubim, right? There's a ribuy of psachim. In the case of Pesach Sheni, we don't have psachim merubim. So the Tosis Yontif doesn't really give us a clear-cut explanation as to why this halacha of what I call hakdomas tamid shel bein arbayim in the case of the 14th of the year should be extended and applied to the 14th of the year. However, the Tzlach, which is a major commentary on Masechet Pesachim, I'm looking here to my right and to my left to see where I put my Tzlach on Pesachim. I have to dig it up from the archives. But anyway, so the Tzlach says that the issue of the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim on the 14th of Iyar is actually a suffix in Tosis in Masechta Yoma, and Tosis has one side to say that you can bring the Korban Pesach, meaning the Pesach Sheni, even before the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Meaning, our underlying premise in our Mishnah is that the earliest time for the Korban Pesach and its Shechita is after the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. That's not necessarily so in the case of Pesach Sheni. Tosis vacillates back and forth on this question. If you accept that side in Tosis, that the Shechita, the Pesach Sheni, could happen before the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, there's no reason, therefore, for the 14th of Iyar to have a change in schedule as far as the Zman of the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. In the case of Pesachim, we could only begin the process of Yudalit bin Nisan once the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim is brought. Hence, we have to bring the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim a little bit earlier. But not so in the case of Tamid Shel, in the case of the 14th of Iyar. And the Tzlach wants to offer an interesting insight into the difference between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. And I only say this because since we're learning Pesachim, you know, we should keep these concepts in mind. He says that the law of Tamid coming before the Pesach is derived from the word Ba'erev. And that word Ba'erev does not appear in Pesach Sheni. Now, again, that's Tosis in Masechta Yoma. The Tzlach points out that elsewhere in Shas, for example, Tosis Menachos, assumes, as a Dover Pasha, without questioning, that even with regard to Pesach Sheni, we have to wait until after the Korban Tamid, Shel Bein Arbayim, in order to bring the Pesach Sheni, which again brings the 14th of Iyar into closer proximity to the 14th of Nisan. There's a certain striking similarity in the fact that both Pesachim, Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, have to be brought after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. He says, Af Pesach Sheni, HaKorev Barbosa Be'ir, is Makdimim Eshchitas HaTamid L'Shchitas HaPesach HaKorev Achra. And if not for the fact that the Mishnah uses Arve Pesachim in the plural, we would have suggested that Rak bePesach Rishon Makdimim Es Shchitas HaTamid Mipnei SheTzorich LaHakdir Sei Muri HaPesach Mibo Jom VeYesh Pesachim Merubim. But Pesach Sheni, we don't have that pressure, and therefore Ein. And also, Ein Pesach Merubin is Ein Tzorch LaHakdim Es Man Shchitas HaTomit. That would have been the Havamin. So the Maskana seems to be that since there's a similarity between the two Pesachim, and they both have to wait until after the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, therefore, the time for the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim will be set in a standard way to apply both for Pesach Rishon on the 14th of Nisan, as well as the 14th of Iyar for Pesach Sheni. It's a kind of Lo Pluk, which we wouldn't have known about unless the Mishnah had used the term Arve Pesach. That's the plural and the derivation thereof. Now, I wanted to add two more points to the Mishnah before we go on to the Sugyas HaGemara. Number one, when we talk about these different Zmanim, and let me reemphasize that in the third segment of the Mishnah, we're talking about Friday. And on Friday of the 14th of Nisan, when we have to get in Tzliya as well, we have to start the process of the Korban Tovin Shel Bein Abayim at the earliest possible time, which is Sheish Umechtza, which means that the Korban Pesach will begin at Sheva Umechtza. All these times are what we call Shaos Zmanios. Now, Shaos Zmanios can be defined in two different ways, and this is a major controversy in the Rishonim. One school of thought says that we take the period of time between Hanetz and Tzeis HaKochavim. Now, well, let me just mention the other school of thought. We take Amud HaShachar till Shkia. And again, this is a long, long discussion, but just keep in mind that Hanetz is later than Amud HaShachar, and Tzeis HaKochavim is later than Shkiyas HaChama. And there will be, especially during certain times of the year, discrepancies between the two definitions of Shaos Zmanios. And it could go in both directions. But basically, let me use the number 12. Again, it's a little bit misleading, because the whole point of Shaos Zmanios is that it's not exactly 12. But let's call it 12 hours. Let's say there's 12 hours in the day. And the answer is no. It's not 12 hours in the day. There are 12 halakim to the day. But the day itself might be longer than 12 hours, might be shorter than 12 hours. But if we start from the later time, we have to end with the later time. So if we're measuring Shaos Zmanios, or the day itself, by beginning with Hanetz, which is later than Amud HaShachar, then we're going to extend the day all the way into Tzeis HaKochav, which is later than Shkia. If, on the other hand, you're of the school of thought that we begin calculating the day from the earlier time period of Amud HaShachar, then we're going to end our day with Shkia Sachama. Now, again, all this is very superficial and very mechanical, but there are much deeper meaningsto this, and the Mirtz Hashem, when we get to the sugya of Shaos Zmanios, we'll cover that. And finally, I wanted to add one more comment here. The Mishnah says in the middle section, with regard to the 14th of Nisan, it says, Bein b'Shabbos u'bein b'chol. And that phrase is to be interpreted as a comment or a description of Erev Pesach, meaning the 14th of Nisan. However, the Brisa that's going to be quoted in the Gemara is going to codify a machlokus between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva as far as the time for Shchitas Tomid on Shabbos. And therefore, again, there are going to be three different explanations of that machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel codified in the Brisa. But whatever it is, two out of the three of those interpretations will assume that Rabbi Shmuel is talking about Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos, and it's going to be a different time for Shchitas Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim. So it's really interesting that when we read this Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that if the Shchitas Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim on the 14th of Nisan is going to be at 7.5 hours, Bein b'Shabbos, Bein b'Chol, that's not necessarily true according to everyone. The Mishnah is omitting a Bar Plukta, a Shitas HaTanoim that's going to be quoted in the Brisa, that's going to differentiate between the 14th on a weekday as opposed to the 14th on Shabbos. So we should keep in mind you know, we have to sort of learn the Mishnah with an open mind. If we don't, we're going to be stuck thinking that there's no difference between the 14th of Nisan on a weekday and the 14th of Nisan on Shabbos. That is true according to our Mishnah, but it's not necessarily universally accepted. Now we start the Gemara. The Gemara says, Minani Mili. Now this phrase, Minani Mili, is generally used by the Gemara when we're looking for a source in the Torah, which means we're looking for a Da'oraisa. The Gemara is assuming in the Kasha that the time for Shchitas Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim, which is mentioned here in our Mishnah, is a Da'oraisa. So for example, our Mishnah opens up by saying that a Tomid Nishchat B'Shmonu Mechtza, then on a weekday, we will shech the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim at 8.5 hours. There's got to be a source for that in the Torah, if we assume it's a Doraisa. Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it is a Doraisa. The Omer Kro, because the Pasuk says, with regard to the mitzvah of Hakrovas HaTomid, at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, it says, Es HaKeves HaChot HaSeh BaBoker, V'Es HaKeves HaSheni, TaSeh Bein HaArbayim. Now, we have to analyze that phrase called Bein Harbayim. It's a very, very strange phrase. The simpler way that the Torah could have conveyed this message would be to say, Vesakevas Hasheni Taseh Ba'erev. Why? Because the word Erev refers to the afternoon. I mean, we translate Erev in English as evening, but that's only because we're so used to being influenced by all these translations. That's why, you know, as a halachist, we sometimes fall by the wayside here because of it. The word Erev really means the afternoon, meaning after we finish Boker. So from Boker, we go into Erev. The Erev would begin from midday and take us all the way until sunset, until the end of the day. So what's Bein Harbayim? Now the reason why I'm so excited about this is because if you don't accept the kasha that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is asking on the Kra, on the Pasuk, if Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is just coming to, you know, to analyze this time period for the Shechita of the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, I would have said that the Da'oraisa time for the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim is anywhere in the afternoon, anywhere past Chatzos until the evening, until sunset. The Mishnah says that we inaugurate the Shechita of Korban Pesach of the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim at 8.5 hours and not at 6 hours or 6.5 hours. The answer is, of course, the Rabbanans. You know, the Rabbanans step in. They have all sorts of agendas here. You know, they want to delay the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim for reason X, Y, or Z, mostly because of the Nedarim and Nedavos. And that's why they said that we're going to establish the Shechita at a later time. But that's all rabbinic in nature. On a Doraisa level, the Torah means to tell you that the entire second half of the day, meaning after you finish with Shacharis and Boker, now you enter into Erev, and that entire period of time is perfectly appropriate for the Shechita of the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim. The Mishnah? The Mishnah is talking about various Derabbanans. The answer is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, no, we are looking for an explanation on a Doraisa level. The Torah is telling me that the earliest time for the Shechita Bein Arbayim, the Tomid should be brought at 8.5 hours. And B'dafka, the Torah avoided the use of the word Ba'erev because the use of the word Ba'erev would have been particularly misleading. What's Bein Arbayim? Now the word Arbayim in plural means that there are two Erevs. Well, what does that mean? There's only one Erev, which starts at midday and ends at the end of the day. So what's Arbayim in the plural? The word Bein means to take these two Erevs and split it in half. Says Rav Yeshua ben Levi, we're going to take the afternoon and we're going to make it into two different time periods. There's Erev the first and Erev the second. And they're going to have to be equal. Why? Because it says Bein Arbayim. Says Rav Yeshua ben Levi, the word Bein means Chilkehu, divided into two. Okay, divided into two, but what are you talking about? You're talking about the Shechita? Or you're talking about the Asiyas HaKarma, the Hakravas HaKarma? The Pasuk says, Esakeves Chad Taseh, Vabokim Esakeves HaShni Taseh. So we have to introduce another variable into our calculation, and that is the Asiyas HaKarma. Now, how long does the Asiyas HaKarma take? It takes 1 hour. 1 hour is always the shear of a significant period of time. Now, how are we going to take the Erev, which means from noontime until the end of the day, split into two Arbayims, two Erevs, Erev the first and Erev the second, allowing for a slice of time of an hour for the Asiyas HaKarma? It's beautiful. We're going to take 6 hours. And we're going to divide it in the following way. The middle of the 6 hours is going to be the hour of Asiyah. That reduces it down to 5 hours. We're going to split the 5 hours into two equal parts. Hence, by virtue of higher mathematics, it's 2.5 and 2.5. So we're going to take midday, we're going to add 2.5 hours in order to get to Bein Harbayim, because after 2.5 hours, we're in the period of Bein Harbayim. We subtracted the hour for the Asiyah, where we're left with two Erevs that equal 5 hours. If we split them in half, it's 2 hours per person. 2 hours per Erev. Chalkeu levein shnei arbayim, shtei shos u'mechtzel lekan, shtei shos u'mechtzel lekan, v'sha achas lasiyoso. Is memelo, we understand that the time for the akravas atomid is going to be from 8.5 hours and on. And this is a doraisa halacha. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, don't misunderstand the Mishnah. Don't think the Mishnah is weighing in on different considerations, that even though we could have brought the carbon earlier, we're not going to do so because of those considerations. And the whole business of our Mishnah and the tripod section and three sections of the Mishnah are Durabanan, nein, it's a Doraisa Halacha. And that's why you read the first segment of the Mishnah, which stipulates that the time for the Karban Tamid shall Bein Arbayim is 8.5 hours. That's a Doraisa. And it's derived from the Pasuk, Bein Arbayim. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is challenging anyone who disagrees with me, you interpret Bein Arbayim, come up with a better pshat in Bein Arbayim. Rabosai, could Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi be right? No way, no how. Because the Mishnah goes on to say that on the 14th of Nisan, we're going to bring the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim at 7.5 hours. And if Erev Pesach is Erev Shabbos, we're going to bring the Tomid Shel Shachar at 6.5 hours. Masiv Rava. Again, he could have equally proven this, his point from the last part of the Mishnah. The only reason we're going to play around with the time for Shechitas Karban, for Shechitas Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, is because of rabbinic considerations and pressures that shift from one calendar day to another. But if you're telling me that the Doraisa Halacha, which defines the very essence of this Karban, is that it's called Akeves HaSheni Bein Arbayim, which means 8.5 hours into the day, then there's no room for flexibility in the case of the 14th of Nisan, or in a case where Friday turns out to be the 14th of Nisan. And Rabosai, this opens up an entire literature of Achronim that try to come to the defense of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And I don't know, Rabosa, if you're familiar with the fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is a big gun. A really big gun. I mean, he and Eliyahu HaNavi were good buddies. I mean, you got to make some sense. But offhand, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi cannot be right, says Rava. It's impossible. If the Torah requires Bein Arbayim, meaning from 8.5 hours on, there's no room for flexibility in the case of Erev Pesach. I just want to mention the Or Zeruah and the Rashash. We'll start with a comment to the Rashash. The Rashash says that the Lashon of a Gemara of Chilku Lebein Shnei HaRavim, and Rashi says that Chilku means to divide up Erev. The Gemara should have said Chilku L'Shnei HaRavim V'Asei HaTomid Beinehem. I mean, if we're saying that the Asiyas HaTomid is between the two HaRavim, so Chilku doesn't mean divide it, meaning the Erev. That's not really accurate. You should have said divide the two Aravim in order to set up an Asiyah of the Torah in between the two. So the Rashash offers an alternative interpretation. It says Chilku is not referring to the word Erev, but rather to the Korban Tamid. And we should split the time for the Korban Tamid between the two Aravim. Meaning that the Erev itself gets split into two Aravim, 3 hours, and another 3 hours, first three and the second three. And the Tamid should be brought midway through the Erev HaRishon. HaTamid Karev Chetzio be Erev HaRishon, v'chetzio be Erev HaSheni. Ah, in other words, the time for the Karban should overlap between the two Chetzios, which we said is Erev HaRishon is the first 3 hours of the afternoon, and the Erev HaSheni is the second 3 hours. So how do we set up a Karban, meaning the Tamid Shabbat Mayim, to overlap between these two parts of the Erev? We're going to do so by having that 1 hour that overlaps a half hour into the first Erev of the first 3 hours, and overlaps into the second Erev of the last 3 hours. And when it says Lebein, right, it says Chilku Lebein Shnei Aravim, according to the Rashash, it means Yechalku Beinehem. So Lebein means each one gets a piece, each one gets a half. And that's the Avodas HaTamid, which is split into two Aravim. Now, I wanted to mention to you the Or Zeruah as well. The Or Zeruah says that according to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, the correct interpretation of Bein Arbayim is not just, you know, two parts that are equal, that form Erev, two equal parts or halves of an Erev, but rather, according to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Bein Arbayim means that there should be a bit of the Erev before the Asiyah and a bit of the Erev after the Asiyah. Which means that we have to divide up the Erev into two parts. They have to be equal parts. We have to be makir the Karban Tamid between these two parts. And we should divide it up equally between the two parts. Says the Or Zeruah, that's not the pshat in Bein Arbayim. That's an impossible pshat. Because he says, "Dai b'kach she'yesh miktsas erev lifnei hatomid u'miktsas erev li'achrav u'lekach bi'erev Pesach miskayim bein arbayim ayidei hashom mechtzo she'yesh kodem hatomid." And therefore, he interprets bein arbayim is k'shemakrivim oso b'shmonu mechtzo nimtzo she'mekayim bo bein arbayim v'al korchenu misbatel bein arbayim ha'omer b'tomud. And what the Or Zeruah is presenting here is two interpretations of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. And according to one, we can put Bein Arbayim into a certain light by splitting it up into two chalokim. And when we do so, and we machalik the Tomid into two chalokim, they're equal chalokim, this is going to give us a defense, if you will, against the onslaught of Rava. And believe it or not, that's what we want to talk about tomorrow. The Tzlach also wants to reject the question and the objection of Rava, but he wants to introduce a Yerushalmi that discusses and analyzes Bein Arbayim. So believe it or not, what we want to do tomorrow at the outset is to try to understand both the Or Zeruah and the Tzlach in their defense against the defense for Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi against the onslaught of Rava. So let's just make a note of where we got up to today. We're on, obviously, Daf Nun Ches. And we finished up to Masiv Rava, and we're up to Rava's own interpretation, Ella Amar Rava and Bli Neder. That's what we're going to spend our time on tomorrow.